Good morning. Today's Daffin Ksufus is Hey. We begin today on Dalamud Beis. Bryce on Gimel Mud Beis gave us some basic details regarding when is the right time to get married. Wednesday. Wednesday is the right time to get married. Already been established in the Mishnah. Wednesday's the middle of the week. It's a perfect opportunity, and it also happens to be the day before Beis Din convenes in the event that things go south. So you have Beis Din on Thursday morning. As we already commented a number of times, not the greatest way to initiate a marriage, but considering the fact that marriage has a lot of financial responsibility, so it can become a little bit messy. So you have a Beis Din on Thursday. The Braisa then goes on, gives us a little bit more information than what we saw together in the Mishnah, and that is notably what happens if you needs to move the chasna from Wednesday, move it up. So you can, under certain circumstances. So we talked about circumstance of sakana. We talked about circumstance of ones. The Bryce is not very clear what it's talking about, what is sakana, what is ones. So the Gemara filled in the details. What's sakana? So that we went through in yesterday's daf. What's ones? That the Gemara also went over in yesterday's daf, including including two different interpretations of what ones could possibly mean. One possibility of what ones is that the army's coming in and the army's not going anywhere. And the Jewish people are expected to quarter the army. So as a result of that, we're going to lose all that food. So what we're going to do is we're going to push the wedding up in order to avoid that. Alternatively, another possibility of what ones means is that Rachmanis will be either the chasna or the kala become an avel on the day of the chasna. So it's a real Rachmanis. But under those circumstances, so what you could do is you could move the wedding up. And what are you going to gain from that? So like we discussed in detail yesterday, so what's going to happen is that you will just delay in the burial of the mace. You're not delaying a long time. For a moment, I left this point ambiguous yesterday. You're not delaying it for a very long time, right? Just to have the actual chasna itself. So you have the actual chasna itself. Husband and wife will be together one time. And then afterwards, then you'll do the burial. But because the chasna came first and then the burial came afterwards, so you have the Sheva Brachos, the Sheva Yimei Mishta, and then you're going to have the Sheva Yimei Avelos. Okay, so and admittedly, all this is much easier said than done, but that's going to be the Seder HaDvarim. So because of that, so now what you could do is you could move the wedding up, meaning if, let's say, for example, the mace occurred on Monday, so everything now is going to be moved up. You're going to move up the chasna to Monday, and the burial will take place after the chasna, and accordingly. The last point that we left litigating yesterday was a question of do they need shomrim? Do they need people to watch them? Husband and wife, they were together one time. Do they need shomrim? Yes or no? So yesterday, ambiguity on that very point. We know that husband and wife, generally speaking, of course, don't need shomrim. In other words, a husband and wife, even while she's a nida, so they could be miyachid together, they could seclude themselves in a room together. And the basic reason, of course, is that their husband and wife, which is in of itself not a good explanation, but because they know that her status of being a nida is a temporary status, and they know the severity of the isser of nida, and so therefore they're allowed to seclude themselves. And on top of that, overlaid on top of that, are many harchakos, many ways in which they're going to distance themselves from one another during the Yemei Nida. The Gemara touched on that yesterday as well. So for those reasons, so a husband and wife could be miyachid together. But if they were never together with each other, i.e. it was a chuppas nida, so then there is a need for shomrim. Then there needs to be that they cannot be miyachid together. Good, that's what we learned yesterday. The problem is that we left off with a little bit of ambiguity. This particular case, so do they need shomrim? So one Bryce, the Bryces yesterday certainly indicated that they do need shomrim, but then we did have a Bryce yesterday that indicated they don't need shomrim. Well, what did we do yesterday? So one approach that we went over yesterday is that maybe there's a difference whether she's an avel or he's an avel. If he's an avel, so then they're going to need shomrim. They can't be miyachid together. His yetzer hara is very strong, and they're going to need shomrim. But if she's an avel, so then they don't need shomrim because she'll be able to control herself much more. And she certainly will not be in any kind of mood. Good. That's one approach that we said yesterday. We are up to a new approach today, Rav Ashi. So you're going to find us now in Dalam and Beis, about 7-8 lines from the bottom of the Amud. And Rav Ashi gives us another approach to this problem. So you can't compare this Avelus to other Avelus. Meaning, generally speaking, by Avelus, there doesn't need to be any Shomrim, there doesn't have to be separation, meaning they can be Miyachid together. Only in this particular case do you need Shomrim. So the Gemara says, Avel Tadam, Chamer V'lo Asel Azazulei Ba'am. So when it comes to Avelus, in general, everyone understands Avelus is the period in which husband and wife are not allowed to be with one another, and that's enough. Meaning that's sufficient information that would put a governor on their behavior. But Avelus Ahacha, but when it comes to Avelus over here, Kim Adakil Rabbanan, Asel Azazulei Ba'am. But consider the fact that this is a really strange and extraordinarily unusual Avelus. Avelus that was followed by Sheva Brachos. It's a really strange Avelus. And because the Chachamim were Mekel in this case over here, so therefore, they're not going to treat Avelus with the seriousness it deserves. So my cool, what's so lenient over here? Ilem edekatani ba'al bilas mitzvah parash. So the Gemara says what? They had relations immediately before the burial? So hasa mishum delo chal avelusa. So the Gemara says that's not a kula. In other words, Avelus hasn't kicked in yet. Meaning there is an Isra Tashmish between husband and wife during Avelus. They weren't together during Avelus, they were together before Avelus. Now it's a period that we call Aninus, but Aninus, Avelus, those are two different periods of time. And so there is no heter of Tashmish during Avelus. So the Gemara says, so on those grounds, I don't really see that their Avelus is any different than regular Avelus. Ila Rabbi Lazarache, Yetzimi Pesach HaBaisol, Ila Rabbi Yeshua Achi Yisemagola. When does Avelus begin? Funny, you ask around, anybody, everybody, when does the Avelus begin? They'll tell you right after the burial. They're right. But it happens to be a machlokas, meaning there's an opinion, not accepted, but there's an interesting opinion that we just saw together, the Sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, which is Achi Yetzim Mipesach Chabai. It's a really interesting position. Avelus begins when the mace is taken out of the house towards the cemetery. At that point in time, Avelus begins. Okay, not the accepted viewpoint. But anyway, the point is that they had Bia before Avelus began, according to either opinion. So, Ella Diktani Noeg Shivas Yimei HaMishav, Achakech Noeg Shivas Yimei Avelus. Oh, okay, so the Gemara says, you know what's so lenient? What's so lenient is that, obviously, they have to observe Sheva Brachos, Sheva Yimei Mishtah, and they have to observe Avelus, which came in front of which? So, the Mishtah came before the Avelus. Oh. So now they're thinking, look, Avelus, of course, you're not allowed to have Tashmish, but they did take our Sheva Brachos and they moved it in front of Avelus. Now, we know why. Meaning, they did that because, first the Chasna, then the burial. So they just went in the order of what happened first. First the Chasna, so that demands that you need to have Sheva Simei Mishta. Then afterwards, you'll have to postpone and then observe the Avelus afterwards. So we know why, but it doesn't matter. Meaning, despite the fact that we know why, they'll look at the Avelus and they'll say, I don't know, it's a strange Avelus. Okay, so they may consider it to be more lenient during this Avelus. Therefore, the Chachamim said that in this particular case, they need Shomrim. That is Rav Ashi's way of juggling the braces that we saw yesterday. Shloshim... I'm with you. During Yontov, they didn't observe Shloshim, but Yontov in general, you count those days to her Shloshim, even if you don't avoid Avelus, right? It's an excellent question. Back in Moed Katan, we talked about how the Shloshim can be counted even on non-Avelus days. All right? Good. Amamar. Ben kach lo yivah lo b'erev Shabbos v'lo b'motzei Shabbos. So, we're now going to go back and pick up some points in the Braisa. The Braisa dropped. We haven't gotten a chance to discuss them yet. So the Gemara now is going to take these opportunities. So the Braisa says that their first act of relations cannot occur, neither on Friday night nor on Motzei Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Bishlam Aberev Shabbos Mishum Chabura. So Friday night, I totally understand the issue. The issue is that if you get married for the first time on Friday night, what's going to happen now? Chabura. He's going to penetrate her. He's going to rupture her. And that's going to be causing a wound on Shabbos, and you can't do that. Now, it happens to be the Gemara right now says it so flatly, like this is absolutely an issue. Stay tuned. At the end of today's daf, tomorrow's daf, we're going to be discussing this in detail, in pretty good detail. So you're going to see the Gemara is going to equivocate over this point at the end of today's daf. But for now, let's just leave it at I understand. I understand why they're not getting married on Friday night or having the first act of relations on Friday night. Elam Motzei Shabbos on my law. But they want to get married for the first time on Motzei Shabbos. Come on. In other words, a Motzei Shabbos wedding. What's wrong with that? So on my law. So I'm Rabbi Zeira. Now, I know it's funny, by the way. Just I'll insert quick comment over here. Days earlier in the daf, meaning this is only daf hey. So we haven't been here that long. But days earlier in the daf, we talked about how Shachtu... that you have to make sure there are 3 days of preparation, which is why you don't get married on a Sunday because the Shabbos will obviously serve as an impediment towards the preparing, and you need 3 days of preparation. And then after the Gemara dropped that, the Gemara on a number of occasions, this being one of them, the Gemara is so comfortable just even discussing, you know, why not get married on a Motzei Shabbos? It's funny how I don't know how to balance. I'm not sure how the Gemara felt that this is a real takana, that you need 3 consecutive days of preparation, and then the Gemara just very very calmly discusses, you know, get married on Motzei Shabbos. What's wrong with that? Okay, so anyway. So Ela ben Motzei Shabbos, am I low? So why not get married on Motzei Shabbos? So I'm a Rebbe Zeira. So as we are now on the top of Hamad Aleph, so Mishum Cheshbono. So the reason why you're not allowed to get married on a Motzei Shabbos is because think about it, right? You made a chasna, so I have not made a chasna yet. Yerzeh Hashem soon by me, but I can imagine all you're doing is thinking about, this is clearly going to be autobiographical right now, all you're going to think about is how much am I paying him and how much am I paying him and he wanted how much? So the, so cheshbonos, so the, and Rashi writes, Shem Yichnos Motzei Shabbos, if you get married on Motzei Shabbos, Yasa Suda Balayla, V'yachshu B'Shabbos, Ma'ot Tzarech Lahotzi. Okay, and good. I'm in good company. Rashi says that's what people are going to think about. And what's wrong with that? Uksiv, the daber davar, and it's going to be a lack of covered Shabbos, right? The Psukim in Yeshayahu at the end of Sefer Yeshayahu tell us that we have to honor the Shabbos. We have to enjoy the Shabbos. Well, a part of honoring the Shabbos is that your speech on Shabbos cannot be like your speech during the week. And on Shabbos, you're not to talk about business on Shabbos. It's not Shabbos appropriate. Now, it's more than not Shabbos appropriate, meaning it's a violation of the Navi. Navi tells us that that Shabbos has to be fundamentally different than the rest of the week. So, if you put yourself in a position where you're going to have a big business negotiation for Motzei Shabbos, otherwise known as a wedding, so then what you're going to end up doing is all Shabbos long. That's all you're going to think about. So, Amalei Abai v'cheshbono shel mitzvah mi'asirei. So, the Gemara says, cheshbono shel Shabbos, if it's a mitzvah, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to do calculations in your head, financial calculations of your head, if it's related to a mitzvah. And the Gemara is going to give us many different statements of many different Amoraim that make exactly this point. You're allowed to think about cheshbon shel mitzvah on Shabbos. Let's say you want to do some sort of fundraising on Shabbos. You want to have an appeal. So you could do that on Shabbos with numbers and figure out how much you need and how much you need to raise and have people pledge and have people commit themselves to certain amounts of money. And V'amar Rav Yaakov, Amar Rav Yochanan, Hochin Labate Knesus, Labate Medrashos, Lefakech, Liske Rabim, B'Shabbos. Any kind of public need. So what you can do is you can go around on Shabbos, and you can even go to a shul, and you can even go to a base medrash. These are places that are, generally speaking, dedicated places to davening and learning. And still, if it's a question of mitzvah, so you're allowed to do that. The Amar of Yaakov Beridi, Amar of Yochim Mefachem, Pikuach Nefesh B'Shabbos. So what you can also do is that you can be involved in Pikuach Nefesh calculations, meaning obviously Pikuach Nefesh, that goes without saying. But even the calculations, let's say that we have to collect money for Pidyon Shvuyim, right? Someone needs to be ransomed, and I'm collecting the ransom money. So you could do that on Shabbos. The Amar Shmuel Bar Nachmini Amar Rav Yochanan Hochin Latartios Ulekarkiot Lefakeach Liskei Rabim B'Shabbos. You can go to the theater. You can go to the circuses, right? Karkiot is probably an older word of circus, and Tartios is probably an older word of theater. So anyway, so you can go to these places on Shabbos, again, for the purposes of collection, and even though you are talking money for the purposes of Iske Rabim, so you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. Vitana de Be'Menashe, we're almost done. I know the Gemara really is hammering this point. Vitana de Be'Menashe, Meshachin al Tinokos, Le'Arz B'Shabbos. So what you could do is you can make shiduchim. Now, it's funny. We use the word shiduchim just simply as matchmaking. In other words, this guy, that girl, right? Shidduch, from the Gemara standpoint, is much more financially based. Meaning, shidduch back in the day, aside from matchmaking, is also, right, how much are you contributing to the chasna, and you, what are you good for? So so that is something where you could do on Shabbos. In other words, even though you're focusing on the financial aspect of it, but you're making a shidduch. So the alatinok lamdo sefer ulamdo umnos. You can also hire people on Shabbos to teach your kid Torah, to teach your kid a parnasa. Earning a parnasa is a mitzvah, and that you could do, the hiring of it, you could do on Shabbos. So, okay, that was a very long sentence to basically say, so you're thinking about the wedding of Motzei Shabbos on Shabbos. No. It's not a big deal. It, in fact, totally allowed. Okay.
How do they do the wedding on Shabbos night, though? It's supposed to be Wednesday.
Awesome. Yeah, no, correct. But as we learned earlier, when the Beis Dins are operating on every day, so then every day becomes a possible day in which you can get married. Right? That's what we learned earlier. In other words, once we enter a time where the Beis Dins are not just limited to Monday and Thursday, so you can get married any day.
Doesn't it take away one of the 3 days of preparation? Because you can't prepare
ourselves. I'm bothered by your very question. Okay. It's good. Same thing bothers me. So, El Amar Rebbe Zerik Zerik Shamish Chobenov. Oh, so the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you the problem. Problem is, you're making a chasa on Motzei Shabbos. Okay. So, again, I'm Yirtzeh Hashem by me, but people are crazy before chasas. And people are crazy after the chasas. Okay. Okay. But at least there's a good reason to be crazy before the chasna. In other words, you have so much preparation, so many people you know you're going to be feeding. And so now, look, Motzei Shabbos, I know. What's it called? We discussed it. We thought it was a good idea. It's a terrible idea. But here we are now on Shabbos, and I don't think we have enough food. Okay, so let's check an animal. Yeah, but it's Shabbos. Okay, but again, in other words, you put yourselves in those positions, and shechting on Shabbos is a malacha d'oraisa. But again, we're all going to lose our minds because it's Shabbos. There is a discussion Tosfos has over here. What's the correct gears in the Gemara? Shem Yishcho ben of, Yishem Yishcho bo of. Either way, it comes out, you're going to be shechting on Shabbos. So Amalei Abala Me'ati Yamakipurim Shechalios B'Shinah B'Shabbos. So Yidcheg Zer Shem Yishcho ben of. So the Gemara says, really, you're worried about people going crazy over food, which again, that's standard fare for us people. But you're going to talk about people going crazy for food. What about on Erev Yom Kippur? Now, where Yom Kippur falls on a Monday. Now, you know, it's funny, by the way, that as much as we're into food, right? The stereotype is good. It's true. So as much as we're into food, how many times is there a mitzvah to eat over the course of the year? So I understand Shabbos is a mitzvah to eat. But I'm talking about a bona fide, an actual mitzvah to eat. So, Erev Yom Kippur. It's really, really funny, but it's really true. Meaning, Erev Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah to eat. And when else can you say that on the calendar? That it's mamash a mitzvah to eat. I understand Shabbos and Yantav, you're right, we're required to enjoy it, but we're just talking about the actual mitzvah to eat food. Erev Yom Kippur. Now, Erev Yom Kippur, so here we are now where if Yom Kippur is coming out on a Monday, so what's going to happen? So Sunday is eating day. And it's a mitzvah to eat that Sunday. Okay. And by the way, just pay careful attention to this Gemara, because the question comes up annually and you'll not get a straight answer because it's a debate. But is there also a mitzvah to eat on the night before Erev Yom Kippur? Okay. It's an annual question. Rabbis get that all the time. You know me. I'm not a rabbi. I'm a rabbi, but rabbis get that question all the time, and there's no clear cut answer. Anyway, but so over here, if Yom Kippur falls on a Monday, so that means to say that Sunday everybody's got to eat. And now, why aren't we worried about the same thing? People are going to go crazy. So hasam delanafshe lo tayiracha delacherim tarid. So the Gemara says, first of all, there's a major difference. When you're making a wedding, you're feeding other people. You're feeding other people? Okay. In other words, and now not only are you worried about food, but you're worried about how people see you and view you and see you as a host? Oh my gosh, that's a recipe for disaster. You're making the wedding on Motzei Shabbos. But over here, you're talking about eating Yom Kippur. You just feed your primary responsibility is feed yourself. Okay, maybe your family also, but in other words, it's not the same. And additional to that, inami hasam isle ravcha, hachale isle ravcha. on top of that, when you're making a wedding on Motzei Shabbos, there is no cushion. In other words, you're going straight from Shabbos to Chasna. If we're talking about eating on Erev Yom Kippur, you have time. You have a full day. So, in other words, Yom Kippur's on a Monday. And oh, by the way, I'm not sure if I was clear about this point. What is the Gemara entertaining? Meaning, if Yom Kippur's on a Monday, that's a non-negotiable. What are we going to do? Meaning, by a wedding, you can push off the wedding. Weddings are totally voluntary in terms of when to make it. What is the Gemara entertaining by Yom Kippur? But we all know the answer to that. And that is that we're going to tell Beis Din, don't have Yom Kippur come out on a Monday. Meaning, make Yom Kippur come out on any other day of the week. They could do that. In other words, they can adjust the calendar. We've lived so long with a fixed calendar. I know we don't think like that, but it's true. In other words, they can manipulate the calendar. They have absolutely the right to do that. So with a little bit of foreplanning, so they can move Yom Kippur to a different day. But again, the Gemara says, again, the second distinction to be made between a chasna, Motzei Shabbos chasna, and eating on Erev Yom Kippur, if Yom Kippur was on Monday, is Yesh La Ravcha. There's plenty of time. And again, our Gemara over here would seem to indicate that you are not commanded, instructed to eat on the night prior. Because the Gemara says there's time. Meaning you have all of Motzei Shabbos to prepare. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, so now that we're here, meaning if we're worried about people losing their mind and shechting, if you make a wedding on Motzei Shabbos, I could say the same thing regarding Friday night as well. Meaning you make a wedding on Friday night. So over here, again, if people are coming over, you invited the community, and now, is there enough food? There's not enough food. We have to shecht. So the truth of the matter is that this also will be a concern for Friday night as well. Okay. Ibai Lahu. So, hey, Amud Aleph, halfway down on the Amud. And the Gemara now addresses the following. So, Besula Nisus Berevi of Nivels Berevi. So, look, we know that principally a woman's to be married on a Wednesday. First point in our Masechta. Again, I know we bounce back and forth between could be another day. Should we move it to another day? But again, ideally, Wednesday is the time they should be getting married. Now, in terms of the bia, so should the bia also occur on Wednesday as well? Okay, now just a quick uncomfortable discussion. In other words, what is the Gemara proposing right now? Meaning having bia during the day itself. So we're going to see on a number of occasions throughout Shas where the Gemara says that it's not appropriate to have bia during the day. The more appropriate, modest time to have bia is at night. So when the Gemara says, and to have the bia on Wednesday, is the Gemara over here entertaining that they're going to have bia during the day? Okay, it's not clear right now, but it is absolutely consideration, and I don't want it left unsaid, meaning that there really is a modesty requirement to have bia during the night, not during the day. It's not prohibited to have bia during the day between husband and wife, but it's not modest, it's not the appropriate time. Anyway, with that stated, is it that you get married on Wednesday and you have bia on Wednesday? And now remember, why do we construct weddings to occur on Wednesday? So that take advantage of him being upset, meaning that we want them to go to Beis Din if there's a problem. Because again, the financial issue, right, that's between him and her. But there's also an Isser issue, meaning that if in fact she wasn't a Basula, so then we have to open an investigation. We talked about this in the opening of the Masechta. There is a need to open an investigation. Why was she not a Basula? When did she have relations with another man? And so there's an Isser component to it. So we want him to be upset. If they get married on Wednesday and they have bia during Wednesday, so that's going to be almost a full day between the bia and Beis Din. Are we worried about him calming down? Odilma, Basula Nisus Berevia Venivels Bechamishi Dechashila Kurei Daite. Or maybe not. Maybe the chasa will be on Wednesday, but in terms of when they're going to have bia, they're going to be instructed to have bia on Wednesday night. And in doing so, there will be less time between the alarm going off, meaning I need to go to Beis Din and Beis Din actually opening up their door. So Tashma, did Nibar Kapar Basul Nesus Berevia Venivels Bechamishi Ho Venemar Bro Bracha Ladagim. So, we have a Brisa, the Brisa Bar Kapara. A Basul will get married on Wednesday. She'll have Bia on Thursday, meaning Wednesday night. And why? Because you know what you get when you have Bia on Thursday night? You get a Bracha. What Bracha do you get on Thursday? So we know on Thursday the fish were created. We also know that when the fish were created on Thursday, the fish were given a Bracha. And the Bracha is that they should be fruitful and they should multiply. And so therefore, you're going to kill two birds. you will be able to satisfy the rabbinic requirement to get married on Wednesday. And on top of that, you also catch the bracha when you have the bia for the first time on Thursday night. So Aman and Nisa is b'chamishi v'nivas b'shishi. Now, as far as the widow is concerned, so her wedding day should be Thursday, and bia will be on Thursday night. What's Thursday night? Thursday night is Friday. Hova nemra bo bracha la'adam. Now, there you have even a better bracha. Now, the better bracha is that the Adam and Chava were created on Friday, and they were also given the mitzvah of Peru Urivu. Ah, so that is the brisa of Bar Kapara. So, time mishum bracha avah mishum ikure day to lo chayshinan. So, the Gemara says, now, he seems to be scheduling everything based on bracha. He doesn't seem to be worried about people calming down. So, the Gemara says, yachi aman anami tiba b'chamishi halvan omer bracha ledagim. So the Gemara says, really, if bracha is the only thing that is motivating him in terms of the scheduling, so then I don't understand. In other words, the Almana, why doesn't she want the bracha for Dagim? But the Gemara's answer, which I'm hoping everyone here is thinking, bracha da Adam adif elei. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if I have a choice, the bracha da Adam is better. Meaning when it comes to a besula, she doesn't have a choice. Meaning she needs to be married on Wednesday so that they're ready for Thursday's Beis Din if necessary. So they don't have a choice. But what they can at least get is the bracha of the dagim. When it comes to almana, there's not going to be a beis din. We know she's not a besula. So when it comes to an almana, so therefore we'll go with the preferred bracha. The preferred bracha, of course, is adam. So v'inami mishum shaktu. The other reason why an almana is going to be getting married on a Thursday is because of another issue. A new concern, new meaning for us, meaning we haven't seen this yet. And that is the Tanya, we'll enter the Brisa. Why is it that the Aman is getting married on Thursday, but they're told to have the Bia on Thursday night? Because what happens is that if you marry a widow and you're marrying her on Thursday, and everything's done by the end of Thursday, so then what are you going to do on Friday? Okay, right? Looking forward to our life together. I'll see you tonight. Meaning, I'm going to work today. So the Shaktu Chacham, the Tachanos Ben Osisho, she is Sameach Imar Shloshi Yamim, Chamisha B'Shabbos, Verev Shabbos, Uve Shabbos. And so therefore, as a concern that the husband is going to go to work on Friday, so basically they said to him, here, get married on Thursday, have the first act of relations with your new wife, meaning she's not a Basula, but still, have the act of relations Thursday night, meaning Friday. And that way, at least now, they're going to have a three-day, we'll call it a honeymoon, okay, a three-day honeymoon. So, where are we right now? We are trying to figure out with more precision what's the better scheduling. Should the Basula gets married on Wednesday, that's clear. Should the Bia be done Wednesday night, or can it be done on Wednesday? That's what we're litigating. The Brisa Bar Kapara is talking about it, but not for the reasons that we seem to be concerned about, but for issues of bracha. So my ika ben bracha l'shaktu. So the Gemara says, now, as far as the almana, so we learn together now that she gets married on Thursday and has bia on Thursday night for two reasons, bracha and shaktu, and the concern that he's going to go to work on Friday. So ika benel adam batal inami yom tov shechalios berev Shabbos. So the Gemara just simply points out that I need both reasons, because let's say, for example, that he's marrying an almana and he's retired, and he's got no work to go to. So, once you take work out of the equation, so the only thing left is shaktu. Similarly, if let's say nobody's going to work on Friday, i.e. it's a yontif. So Friday's the yontif, so you've taken work out of the equation. So then the only thing left to be concerned about is the bracha. Fine. Darsh bar kapara. Okay, period. Okay, so.
The person isn't allowed to go to work.
If he married Amana. If you married a Basula, so you have 7 days of Yontif.
Right,
so okay, good. So if you married a Basula, you have 7 days of Yontif. The work discussion of the Gemara was regarding the Almana. Okay. All right. Darish Bar Kapara. Right, we are going to do a little bit of Agadata. I know it's early in the Masechta, but we're going to do a little bit of Agadata right now. But just for a moment, just to recap, two issues that we discussed so far this morning. One is the possibility, at least entertaining the idea of getting married on Motzei Shabbos. Good idea, bad idea, terrible idea. And we discussed why. Cheshbonos, which the Gemara itself ended up rejecting. Or, of course, is that you're going to be making mechas on Motzei Shabbos, you're going to violate Shabbos. Right? In other words, not because you're a bad person, simply because that's what's going to happen when you're going to be feeding hundreds of people. So it's a really bad idea. And don't do it. And then the other thing what we discussed so far this morning is that when the Chachamim said get married on Wednesday, so were they also very specific in terms of when the Biyah Rishonah should take place? Can it take place on Wednesday or should it be pushed off to Wednesday night? And what are the considerations? Two considerations. One being bracha, meaning that with the Biyah on Wednesday night is Thursday, which means that you get the bracha of Dagim. On top of that, additional to that, smaller window of opportunity to calm down. And the Chachamim don't want you to calm down. Because if in the event you need to go to Beis Din wants to capture that anger and frustration that you have, and so therefore it's a smaller window of opportunity. Good. And also as a bonus, we also discussed an almana and when is her preferred time to both get married and have their first bia together. Okay. Darsh Bar Kapara. We quoted Bar Kapara just moments earlier, so we're going to be quoting Bar Kapara again. This is in terms of Agadata. Gedolam Ma'aseh Tzadikim Yosem Ma'aseh Shamayim. Meister Shemayim Va'aretz. So, as far as the creativity of Tzaddikim, greater than that of the creativity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know that sounds strange, but we're going to follow the Pesukim. The Ilu B'Meister Shemayim Va'aretz K'siv Af Yadiyos Da'aretz V'Yemini Tapcha Shemayim. So in Yeshayahu, when giving a description of Hashem creating the world, Kaveyachol, meaning this is anthropomorphic. We're just describing His handiwork, but simply because we have no other vocabulary to use to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He doesn't have a body, there's nothing corporal about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's what we relate to, so therefore we superimpose that on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's called anthropomorphism. I'm sure you've heard of it. So, in describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his handiwork, it says, Yadi. It says his single hand. V'ilu b'maisi yedem shal tzadikim k'siv mechon l'shif t'chal pa'at Hashem mikdash Hashem konanu ya decha. And meanwhile, in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, we built the Beis HaMikdash with two hands. Huh. Now, obviously, the Gemara over here means a lot more than what I'm saying, one hand versus two hands. And obviously, there is tremendous depth to the Gemara, but as per the Daf, I'm going to move on. But we're just recognizing that, obviously, the Gemara over here is laden with meaning. So, Hey Shev Bavli Echav Rabbi Chiyashmo V'yavashta Yadav Yatsaro. So there was a Babylonian there. And his name was Rabbi Chia. And he says, come on, the Pasuk in Tehillim, please. V'yavashta yadav yatsaru. His hands were creating the Yavesha, the dry land. So the Gemara says, yado ksiv. No, look at the ksiv. The ksiv is written chaser, meaning it's written his hand. V'haksiv yatsaru. But the Pasuk says, yatsaru, in the plural. Am rav nachma yitzak yatsaru etzbosav. No, the Yetzar is going on the fingers. Again, all this is anthropomorphic. This is all kaviyachol, as if we could say this. So, kidichsiv ki ereh shemecha maiseh etzba osecha yareach v'kochavim asher konanta. Describing how the fingers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu were there for the installation of sun, moon, and stars. Meis v'hasham mesam kvod kel umase yadav magid harakia. Okay, so Masa Yadav, his handiwork, but handiwork in the plural. So Achi Kamar Masa Yadem Shal Tzadikim Mi Magid Harakia. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I can give a different pshat in the pasuk. Pshat in the pasuk is that the Tzadikim are going to be talking about the handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, Umay Niu Matar, and specifically it's a reference to the rain, meaning that they can influence the rain. See the Gemara in Tanis extensively for that. So the pasuk in Kiseitse. Now the pasuk Kipshuto is talking about when we go out to war and we're going to need to use the facilities. So we have to be modest about using the facilities. Right? It is it's a strange placement of the requirement of being modest in using the facilities at wartime. But still, Vayu Machanecha Kadosh. Right? The camp has got to be a holy camp. And we have to maintain dignity and cleanliness even in wartime to the best of our ability. Okay, good. That's a simple pshat, right? I'll just explain the pasuk kipshuto. It means that when you take out all your weapons, azenecha from the word Zion, when you take out all your weapons, you should also have a shovel. And the purpose of the shovel is so that you'll be able to dig a hole and you'll be able to bury your waste. Okay, so that's the simple pshat in the pasuk. Now the Gemara is going to go beyond the simple pshat, meaning we're darshaning right now. So al tikra zanech al oznech. It's a way to darshan the pasuk is it's not referring to your weapons, but it's talking about your ears. What does that mean? Shim yishama adam davar sheino hagan. Let's say you're hearing something which is grossly inappropriate. So yanich etzba baznav. So what you do is you take your fingers and you put them in your ear. In other words, you write the way we're constructed. Our mouth has an opening and closing, so we can always close our mouth. Okay, and at times recommended. So but when it comes to your ears, however, there's no closure for the ears, right? It's just open. So you have your fingers, and so what you do is you take your fingers, you stick them in your ear. So why your fingers look like yesedos? Now, I'm going to say shovel, but if I say shovel, then everyone's going to think to yourself, my fingers don't look like a shovel. Okay, so a peg maybe is a better translation, regardless. In other words, why are your fingers form-fitting into your ears? So my time, so the Gemara says, what do you mean? Every finger's got a purpose. We know that. In other words, we could use fingers to measure. Amamar, zuzera, zukmisa, zuama, zuespa, zugodel. Right? Each one of the fingers has a purpose in terms of what it's there to measure. And you go through the Rashi over here, and I'm not going to go through it right now, but you go through the Rashi and you go through each one of the unique measurements that each one of the fingers represent. Okay, so what do you mean why they're fingers? They're fingers because I need them for measuring. Okay, so it's so funny, by the way, that's right. From the Gemara standpoint, why else do you need fingers? Why else do you need fingers? So, Ela Mata Mishupos Kiesedos. Now we're talking about the shape. Give me an explanation for the shape. So because if you hear something that's inappropriate, so what you'll do is you'll take him and you'll put him right into your ear. So why is it that when it comes to the ear, so a lot of it is hard, but the bottom part of it is extraordinarily soft. Why should that be? Because if you hear something that's inappropriate, so what you'll do is you'll take the soft part and you'll stuff it into your ear. Okay. I haven't tried it. The finger method seems to be a better method. Anyway, the muster is clear. The muster is clear, and that is that don't put yourself in a position where you're hearing things that are inappropriate. Tana Rabbana Ishama Adam La'aznav Dvarim Betalim. So a person should not hear Dvarim Betalim. Now, this is a little bit harsher than what we've been hearing earlier. Earlier, we talked about things that are inappropriate. Now we're just talking about Dvarim Betalim, things that are nonsense. So, Mimnei Shehein Nichlos Tchila Le'Evarim. It's going to be burnt first more than all the other Evarim. Okay? So, yes, the Gemara here is making reference to Yom HaDin, and the Gemara over here is saying that, look, it's a really soft part of our body, and it's the one that's going to get burnt first, and so take good care of your ears, meaning physically, but what the Gemara, of course, means spiritually, meaning what goes in there and what enters and what you're hearing. Okay, perfect. All right, I'm going to pause over here, and the reason why tomorrow you will understand very well, almost perfectly why it is that this is the perfect stopping point for today. We are on the threshold of the Gemara's discussion regarding Bir Rishon on Shabbos and the fact that you're going to be rupturing the Dam Besulim and how if in fact that's a violation of Shabbos. And there are multiple considerations, and it's just better to tomorrow we'll start fresh, meaning we're going to enter into a very detailed, extraordinarily important Shabbos discussion regarding the various issues of making a wound on Shabbos, and so I'm going to push it off to tomorrow. In the meantime, however, let's quickly recap. Today the Braisa says that despite the fact that husband and wife were together, they're going to need separation during the Yemei Avelos. And the Gemara struggled. What do you mean they need separation? When she's a Nida, they don't need separation. And by Avelos, they do. So yesterday we gave an answer. Today we gave a different answer. Today's answer, brought to you by Rivashi, is that in general, you don't need separation between husband and wife during Avelos. During the week, they'll control themselves. But in this particular case where, under the strangest of circumstances, they got married while the mace was unburied, and then they buried the mace, and then they had Sheva Yemei Mishnah and Sheva Yemei Avelos in this particular case, so they're going to need to separate from one another. That was Rav Ashi's answer. Good. That was number one. Number two, Don't get married on Motzei Shabbos. Now, again, I'm confused, like Alan is, like a lot of us are, because the Gemara earlier said, don't get married on Sunday, right? Anyway, don't get married on Motzei Shabbos. Why not? So, first the Gemara thought, because you're going to be making cheshbonos and you can't do that on Shabbos. Correction. You can do that on Shabbos if it's a cheshbon shel mitzvah. Marriage is a mitzvah, so you're allowed to do it. So, scratch that. The problem is that you make a chas on Motzei Shabbos, you're going to violate Shabbos. You're feeding so many people, and you're crazy at that point in time. You're going to violate Shabbos, so you're going to shecht animals, and good. So don't do it. That was issue number one. Good. Issue number two that we discussed today is the issue of when exactly should the Bi'ur Rishona take place? Meaning, the wedding's taking place on Wednesday. Should the Bi'ur Rishona be occurring on Wednesday, or should we push it off to Wednesday night / Thursday? So that's the discussion. The Gemara kind of left us off with a non-committal on the answer. There are other considerations as well, not just a consideration of calming down, which here, one of those strange times in halacha, we don't want the person to calm down, but there's also issues of brachas as well. Getting the bracha of Dagim, which is Thursday, getting the bracha of Adam for the Almana, which is on Friday. Okay. And then the last thing that we discussed today is going to be Agarata. We talked about Divrei Agarata, the handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the handiwork of Tzaddikim. Handiwork of Tzaddikim is greater. Can I say that? No, but the Gemara says it. So the handiwork of Tzaddikim is greater than that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with one hand. Tzaddikim used two hands to create the base of Mikdash. Again, there's depth to that Gemara. And then we turned our attention to our ears. And taking care of our ears. Okay. Plug for the doctor over here. Taking care. Why not? So taking care of our ears. Okay. So and what the Gemara is focusing on, of course, is what enters into our ears and what we should be hearing and what we should not be hearing.